This is the Gempur Kecemerlangan Listening Test. There are 4 parts to the test. You will hear each part twice. For each part of the test, there will be time for you to look through the questions and time for you to check your answers. Write your answers on the question paper. You will have 6 minutes at the end of the test to copy your answers onto the answer sheet. The recording will now be stopped. Please ask any questions now, because you must not speak during the test. Now, open your question paper and look at part 1. You will hear people talking in 7 different situations. For questions 1 to 7, choose the correct answer A, B, or C. You will hear each recording twice. You now have 30 seconds to look at part 1. Now, we are ready to start. Listen carefully. Question 1. You hear a teacher talking to her class about some project work.
Now, what you'll have to do is find a partner to work with. It doesn't matter whether you've worked with them before. In fact, it might be better if you haven't. I'll give you the outline of the project in a minute, but just to say that you'll need to spend some time on planning, like how you'll divide up the work between you and so on. You'll certainly need the internet and other sources like books, and you may even want to take yourselves down to the museum. But don't forget, the deadline for the completed project is the end of the month, so there's no time to waste.
Now, listen again.
Now, what you'll have to do is find a partner to work with. It doesn't matter whether you've worked with them before. In fact, it might be better if you haven't. I'll give you the outline of the project in a minute, but just to say that you'll need to spend some time on planning, like how you'll divide up the work between you and so on. You'll certainly need the internet and other sources like books, and you may even want to take yourselves down to the museum. But don't forget, the deadline for the completed project is the end of the month, so there's no time to waste.
Question 2. You hear 2 friends talking about a film they have just seen.
Awesome film! I've never seen effects like those, ever.
Well, they were okay, but I wouldn't go that far. And there wasn't much of a story, was there? It was just bang crash all the way. I found it a bit samey in places, to be honest.
But the car chases were spectacular. And scary. It was worth seeing just for them.
I was on the edge of my seat sometimes, no doubt about that. But after all that hype beforehand, and even a couple of awards, weren't you a bit disappointed with the film as a whole?
No way! I could sit through it again any time. No problem.
Now, listen again.
Awesome film! I've never seen effects like those, ever.
Well, they were okay, but I wouldn't go that far. And there wasn't much of a story, was there? It was just bang crash all the way. I found it a bit samey in places, to be honest.
But the car chases were spectacular. And scary. It was worth seeing just for them.
I was on the edge of my seat sometimes, no doubt about that. But after all that hype beforehand, and even a couple of awards, Weren't you a bit disappointed with the film as a whole?
No way! I could sit through it again any time. No problem.
Question 3. You hear a boy talking about a school trip he's just been on.
I hadn't been that keen to go on the trip. It was part of our geography course and there was a report to do afterwards. It sounded pretty dull to me and I wasn't wrong. It also meant missing my drama class, which was a real shame. The tour of the museum kicked off with a film about the place, which wasn't too bad actually, but after that it was downhill all the way. Although one or two of the interactive displays were fun, the talks we had to sit through couldn't have been less interesting. I've finally done the report, but it's not very good. I wish I'd gone to drama instead.
Now, listen again.
I hadn't been that keen to go on the trip. It was part of our geography course and there was a report to do afterwards. It sounded pretty dull to me and I wasn't wrong. It also meant missing my drama class, which was a real shame. The tour of the museum kicked off with a film about the place, which wasn't too bad actually, but after that it was downhill all the way. Although one or two of the interactive displays were fun, the talks we had to sit through couldn't have been less interesting. I've finally done the report, but it's not very good. I wish I'd gone to drama instead.
Question 4. You hear a girl leaving a voicemail message.
Hi, it's me. Sorry I missed you after school. Hope you caught the bus okay. I've asked about next Wednesday and the match starts at 6, not 7. So we can meet an hour later if you like. We must have read the time wrong on the poster. Anyway, I'll be coming with my sister if that's okay. She really wants to see it. So if your brother wants to come along as well, then that'd be cool. My dad's agreed to pick us up in the car afterwards. That will save us having to wait for the bus. Call me if there's a problem. I'll see you at school tomorrow anyway. Bye!
Now, listen again.
Hi, it's me. Sorry I missed you after school. Hope you caught the bus okay. I've asked about next Wednesday and the match starts at 6, not 7. So we can meet an hour later if you like. We must have read the time wrong on the poster. Anyway, I'll be coming with my sister if that's okay. She really wants to see it. So if your brother wants to come along as well, then that'd be cool. My dad's agreed to pick us up in the car afterwards. That will save us having to wait for the bus. Call me if there's a problem. I'll see you at school tomorrow anyway. Bye!
Question 5. You hear the weather forecast on a local radio station.
So, it's coming up to 11 o'clock and time to go over to Heidi at the Weather Centre. Good morning, Heidi.
Hi, Tom.
Now, lots of local kids are going to the barbecue in the park later today. Is the weather going to be kind to them?
Well, Tom, after last night's storms, we've certainly lost that humidity everyone was complaining about, and temperatures have fallen overnight. These will pick up again as the day progresses, however, and we should be in for a nice evening. Although we will see a build-up of cloud later this afternoon, we're unlikely to see a repeat of last night's heavy rain.
Now, listen again.
So, it's coming up to 11 o'clock and time to go over to Heidi at the Weather Centre. Good morning, Heidi.
Hi, Tom.
Now, lots of local kids are going to the barbecue in the park later today. Is the weather going to be kind to them?
Well, Tom, after last night's storms, we've certainly lost that humidity everyone was complaining about, and temperatures have fallen overnight. These will pick up again as the day progresses, however, and we should be in for a nice evening. Although we will see a build-up of cloud later this afternoon, we're unlikely to see a repeat of last night's heavy rain.
Question 6. You hear part of an interview with a young pop singer.
Your song has gone straight to the top of the charts. You must be pleased. even if it was a while coming.
Well, I really didn't want to rush the decision. In the end, I went for a song where I could really give my heart and soul, and the producers were willing to go along with that. But it took a bit of finding, actually. A lot of people thought I'd come out with a ballad like the one I sang at the final of the TV talent show. But to be honest, it's a relief to have struck out in another direction. One people wouldn't have associated me with, maybe.
Now, listen again.
Your song has gone straight to the top of the charts. You must be pleased, even if it was a while coming.
Well, I really didn't want to rush the decision. In the end, I went for a song where I could really give my heart and soul, and the producers were willing to go along with that. But it took a bit of finding, actually. A lot of people thought I'd come out with a ballad like the one I sang at the final of the TV talent show. But to be honest, it's a relief to have struck out in another direction. One people wouldn't have associated me with, maybe.
Question 7. You hear two friends talking about school equipment.
Guess what my grandmother has bought me now? Funky dividers.
What are dividers?
You know, things you put in your schoolwork files. They help you sort out all those handouts you make notes on.
All right, I could do with some of those.
Well, it's hardly the rocket science. They've been around for years. Now, the thing about these funky ones is they are made from totally recycled material. I'm afraid my grandmother is into all that and usually gets me stuff that's seriously uncool. But these are actually color-coordinated with the files and stuff I've already got. So, I can save the planet for her without everybody knowing.
Really?
Now, listen again.
Guess what my grandmother has bought me now? Funky dividers.
What are dividers?
You know, things you put in your schoolwork files. They help you sort out all those handouts you make notes on.
All right, I could do with some of those.
Well, it's hardly the rocket science. They've been around for years. Now, the thing about these funky ones is they are made from totally recycled material. I'm afraid my grandmother is into all that and usually gets me stuff that's seriously uncool. But these are actually color-coordinated with the files and stuff I've already got. So, I can save the planet for her without everybody knowing.
Really?
That is the end of part one. Now, turn to part two. You will hear people talking about boy bands on the radio. For questions 8 to 15, choose the correct answer A, B, or C. You will hear the recording twice. Answer all the questions. You now have 1 minute to look at part two. Now, we are ready to start. Listen carefully.
The internet is full of articles about what makes a good boy band, But many bands appear and disappear without a trace. Alana, it can't be as easy as following a formula, can it?
No, I don't think so. The traditional formula is that you have four or five good-looking young guys with some musical ability and the ability to dance. The choreographed dancing was very important to boy bands in the past. They tended to wear the same or very similar clothes when they performed, so you had to decide on a look for the group.
Mm.
The most important element, however, was said to be that the band members had different and very distinct personalities.
Right, the cute one, the rebel, the joker, the shy one, mysterious one.
Yeah, although sometimes they all just seem like the cute one. The idea is that different boys appeal to different girls, so you can have a bigger fan base. There's someone in the band for everyone.
So do you think this all still holds true, or have things changed in the 21st century?
Yeah, I guess things have changed for several reasons, partly just because we needed a change, but mainly because of changes in the media and with new technology. Take One Direction.
Ah, I've been counting the seconds before you mentioned One Direction.
Well, we have to talk about them because they're the biggest thing at the moment. Although, who knows how long they will last.
Oh, ages and ages.
We'll see. Anyway, One Direction, as you know, came to fame through The X Factor, a reality show.
Mm.
And that was a great way to start. You had loads of people watching them every week and wanting them to win. They felt as if they had a personal stake in their story as they voted for them every week.
Mm. What age group does One Direction appeal to exactly?
Well, that's another clever thing. They seem very unthreatening, so they appeal to very young girls. They are cute, so teenage girls really like them. But they also have a laddish, slightly naughty side to appeal to the mums. The teenage girls and the mums are the ones who will spend the money.
Mm.
The lyrics to the songs are calculated to appeal to girls who feel a bit insecure about themselves, like most teenage girls.
Oh.
You don't know you're beautiful. That's what makes you beautiful. That kind of thing. Lots of girls want to feel wanted but not scared, and that's traditionally what boy bands do. They present this image of a clean-cut, reliable boyfriend. Actually, One Direction's clothes also help here. Chinos and clean, casual shirts and canvas shoes.
Hmm.
You'll have noticed that they don't wear the same clothes. Their stylists have been instructed to keep them looking individual, but despite that, they all have this attractive but unthreatening look.
Oh.
No tattoos or piercings or black leather or makeup or anything.
You make them seem very cold and calculating. Remember that they've been nominated for loads of music awards and they've won dozens. So they're regarded as serious musicians.
Okay. If you don't want to believe they're calculating, you can blame their management. They're nice boys who are fantastic musicians.
They are, and they keep proving their critics wrong. A lot of people said they wouldn't make the leap from the UK to the US market, but they did very quickly.
Yes, and that's all down to their clever use of social media, or rather their management's clever use of social media.
Mm.
One Direction are all over Facebook, Twitter, YouTube and Tumblr. That's how they made it in the States so quickly. In the past, it was a lot more difficult and took a lot longer. Bands had to try and get airtime on local radio stations, and that was really hard. But they've bypassed all that. Social media has become the new radio, as their manager said.
Mm. Their first record, Up All Night, went to number one in the US, didn't it?
Sure did. They achieved a world record as the first British band in history to reach number one in America with a debut album. It sold 176,000 copies in the US in a single week.
Amazing. And the boys are all rich from the merchandising too.
Yes. Well, the boys and their management company. There are One Direction phones, toys and games, dolls even. I think that's another 21st century thing. Companies are cashing in on success in all possible ways as quickly as possible.
May they all enjoy it while it lasts.
Now, listen again.
The internet is full of articles about what makes a good boy band, but many bands appear and disappear without a trace. Alana, it can't be as easy as following a formula, can it?
No, I don't think so. The traditional formula is that you have four or five good-looking young guys with some musical ability and the ability to dance. The choreographed dancing was very important to boy bands in the past. They tended to wear the same or very similar clothes when they performed, so you had to decide on a look for the group.
Mm.
The most important element, however, was said to be that the band members had different and very distinct personalities.
Right, the cute one, the rebel, the joker, the shy one, mysterious one.
Yeah, although sometimes they all just seem like the cute one. The idea is that different boys appeal to different girls, so you can have a bigger fan base. There's someone in the band for everyone.
So do you think this all still holds true, or have things changed in the 21st century?
Yeah, I guess things have changed for several reasons, partly just because we needed a change, but mainly because of changes in the media and with new technology. Take One Direction.
Ah, I've been counting the seconds before you mentioned One Direction.
Well, we have to talk about them because they're the biggest thing at the moment. Although, who knows how long they will last.
Oh, ages and ages.
We'll see. Anyway, One Direction, as you know, came to fame through The X Factor, a reality show.
Mm.
And that was a great way to start. You had loads of people watching them every week and wanting them to win. They felt as if they had a personal stake in their story as they voted for them every week.
Mm. What age group does One Direction appeal to exactly?
Well, that's another clever thing. They seem very unthreatening, so they appeal to very young girls. They are cute, so teenage girls really like them. But they also have a laddish, slightly naughty side to appeal to the mums. The teenage girls and the mums are the ones who will spend the money.
Mm.
The lyrics to the songs are calculated to appeal to girls who feel a bit insecure about themselves, like most teenage girls.
Oh.
You don't know you're beautiful. That's what makes you beautiful. That kind of thing. Lots of girls want to feel wanted but not scared, and that's traditionally what boy bands do. They present this image of a clean-cut, reliable boyfriend. Actually, One Direction's clothes also help here. Chinos and clean, casual shirts and canvas shoes.
Hmm.
You'll have noticed that they don't wear the same clothes. Their stylists have been instructed to keep them looking individual, but despite that, they all have this attractive but unthreatening look.
Oh.
No tattoos or piercings or black leather or makeup or anything.
You make them seem very cold and calculating. Remember that they've been nominated for loads of music awards and they've won dozens. So they're regarded as serious musicians.
Okay. If you don't want to believe they're calculating, you can blame their management. They're nice boys who are fantastic musicians.
They are, and they keep proving their critics wrong. A lot of people said they wouldn't make the leap from the UK to the US market, but they did very quickly.
Yes, and that's all down to their clever use of social media, or rather their management's clever use of social media.
Mm.
One Direction are all over Facebook, Twitter, YouTube and Tumblr. That's how they made it in the States so quickly.
Ah.
In the past, it was a lot more difficult and took a lot longer. Bands had to try and get airtime on local radio stations, and that was really hard. but they've bypassed all that. Social media has become the new radio, as their manager said.
Their first record, Up All Night, went to number one in the US, didn't it?
Sure did. They achieved a world record as the first British band in history to reach number one in America with a debut album. It sold 176,000 copies in the US in a single week.
Amazing. And the boys are all rich from the merchandising too.
Yes. Well, the boys and their management company. There are One Direction phones, toys and games. Dolls even. I think that's another 21st century thing. Companies are cashing in on success in all possible ways, as quickly as possible.
May they all enjoy it while it lasts.
That is the end of part two. Now, turn to part three. You will hear five short extracts in which people are talking about their visit to a holiday resort. For questions 16 to 20, choose from the list A to G, what each speaker liked most about the holiday resort they visited. Use the letters only once. There are two extra letters which you do not need to use. You will hear the recording twice. Answer all the questions. You now have 30 seconds to look at part 3. Now, we are ready to start. Listen carefully. Speaker 1.
We had never been to this kind of resort before, where everything is provided for you at no extra cost. The rooms were okay, very clean and tidy, but nothing spectacular. And the weather was quite nice, though we did have rain on a couple of days. We were planning to visit a market in a nearby town, but when it started raining, we decided to stay at the resort instead. In fact, we did a spot of shopping. We weren't expecting such a variety of shops selling all kinds of fascinating things. I'm afraid we spent quite a lot that day.
Speaker 2.
It's not the best hotel I've ever stayed in, although it was quite cheap. So I suppose you get what you pay for. But the hotel employees more than made up for it. They always had a smile on their faces and would go out of their way if you needed something. The breakfast was nice enough, though a bit limited in choice. And the view from our windows wasn't as stunning as we thought it would be. Perhaps the trees have grown since they took the photo that's on the website. But we had a lovely time there nevertheless.
Speaker 3.
I'm quite keen on fitness, so I chose this resort because they have a lot of free activities. Yoga on the beach in the morning, beach volleyball in the afternoon, tennis in the evening, that kind of thing. I tried them all and I think I got my money's worth. What I wasn't expecting, though, was to fall in love with cycling. I borrowed one of the resort's bikes and spent hours just cruising around the resort. It was bliss, with the sun on my face and the warm air around me. I think I might have discovered a new hobby.
Speaker 4.
We booked this hotel because we're keen walkers and we knew there were lots of walking routes and footpaths in the area. We weren't disappointed. On the first day, we walked 5 miles into a nearby town. It was a market day there, so it was really interesting to see all the local produce. The scenery was very pretty, even though we didn't have the best weather. And when we got home to the hotel each night, after a long day of walking, the owner would prepare the most amazing dinners for us, completely different every night. To be honest, I hadn't really thought about the meals, but they were a real highlight of the holiday.
Speaker 5.
We booked a holiday in December because we had a really busy year and just needed some time to relax. Our hotel was nice enough, though the evening buffet dinners were disappointing. It was the same thing to eat every night. There were some exercise classes you could take part in if you wanted to, though we are not really sporty. We spent most of our time by the pool. Despite it being winter, we were really lucky to have some beautiful sunny days. We made the most of it and spent all day outdoors, swimming and reading our books.
Now, listen again. Speaker 1.
We had never been to this kind of resort before, where everything is provided for you at no extra cost. The rooms were okay, very clean and tidy, but nothing spectacular. And the weather was quite nice, though we did have rain on a couple of days. We were planning to visit a market in a nearby town, but when it started raining, we decided to stay at the resort instead. In fact, we did a spot of shopping. We weren't expecting such a variety of shops selling all kinds of fascinating things. I'm afraid we spent quite a lot that day.
Speaker 2.
It's not the best hotel I've ever stayed in, although it was quite cheap. So I suppose you get what you pay for. But the hotel employees more than made up for it. They always had a smile on their faces and would go out of their way if you needed something. The breakfast was nice enough, though a bit limited in choice. And the view from our windows wasn't as stunning as we thought it would be. Perhaps the trees have grown since they took the photo that's on the website. But we had a lovely time there nevertheless.
Speaker 3.
I'm quite keen on fitness, so I chose this resort because they have a lot of free activities. Yoga on the beach in the morning, beach volleyball in the afternoon, tennis in the evening, that kind of thing. I tried them all and I think I got my money's worth. What I wasn't expecting, though, was to fall in love with cycling. I borrowed one of the resort's bikes and spent hours just cruising around the resort. It was bliss, with the sun on my face and the warm air around me. I think I might have discovered a new hobby.
Speaker 4.
We booked this hotel because we're keen walkers and we knew there were lots of walking routes and footpaths in the area. We weren't disappointed. On the first day, we walked 5 miles into a nearby town. It was a market day there, so it was really interesting to see all the local produce. The scenery was very pretty, even though we didn't have the best weather. And when we got home to the hotel each night, after a long day of walking, the owner would prepare the most amazing dinners for us, completely different every night. To be honest, I hadn't really thought about the meals, but they were a real highlight of the holiday.
Speaker 5.
We booked a holiday in December because we had a really busy year and just needed some time to relax. Our hotel was nice enough, though the evening buffet dinners were disappointing. It was the same thing to eat every night. There were some exercise classes you could take part in if you wanted to, though we are not really sporty. We spent most of our time by the pool. Despite it being winter, we were really lucky to have some beautiful sunny days. We made the most of it and spent all day outdoors, swimming and reading our books.
That is the end of part 3. Now turn to part 4. You will hear a student called Duncan Hip talking about his recent trip to Iceland to study seabirds called puffins. For questions 21 to 30, fill in the missing information in each numbered space. Use no more than one word for each space. You now have 1 minute to look at part four. Now, we are ready to start. Listen carefully.
Do you like seabirds? If so, you'll love puffins. They spend most of their lives at sea. But last August, I was lucky enough to see them up close when I visited the Westman Islands in Iceland where they build their nests. First of all, though, a few facts about puffins. They have a squat black and white body, short wings, and a large colourful beak, which I think makes them look really funny on dry land. But puffins are built more to swim underwater than to fly or walk. When you see them swimming, it's an impressive sight. Their wings help them propel themselves through the water. I didn't expect their feet to be used when they were flying, except perhaps just to moderate their speed like brakes. But actually, they use them to alter their direction in the air. In the water, puffins can dive deep, holding their breath for up to 2 minutes to catch fish. When spring comes, puffins can be seen on high cliffs on the Westman Islands making their nests. It's quite a sight, I'm told. I wasn't aware of this, but puffins nest underground rather than on clifftop ledges as I'd imagined. They dig holes, so their nests are very well protected. Each female puffin lays just one egg in its nest each year, which the pair watches over for 6 weeks, day and night. While they wait, you can hear them underground making noises that might be like talking, loud growling calls, almost like laughter, which some describe as sounding like a cow, and I tend to agree. Young puffins, though, once hatched, sound more like a duck or a goose, peeping for food from their parents. I was told that, as winter beckons, their parents leave them behind and fly off to sea, but apparently it's hunger rather than loneliness that makes young puffins fly from their nests. That's something I didn't expect. And this is what I saw when I was there. In the daytime, I watched young puffins diving off the cliffs to gain enough speed for flight as they headed out to sea. At nighttime, though, which is when most of them fly off, it was a different story. The thing is, puffins instinctively use the stars for navigation, but the lights of a town can fool them and make them head in the wrong direction, so the young puffins end up landing all over the place. Some puffins land on the beaches, where they are easily rescued. Others aren't so lucky. If it's on the roads, cars aren't so much of a problem, as people know to drive extra slowly at this time of year. But gardens present more of a threat. They're dark and there are lurking cats. So I helped the local teenagers, who are allowed to stay out late, and we roamed around the town with cardboard shoeboxes, rescuing young puffins as we went. I even saw one boy putting a young puffin in an upturned umbrella, which made me laugh. They didn't seem to mind being handled, and it's not unusual for a single teenager to catch 10 birds in one evening. After a night spent as guests of their rescuers, with the box as a temporary bed, we carried the young birds down to the beach and threw them up high. It was a really rewarding experience to see them glide towards the sea and freedom. Sometimes the puffins aren't ready for release, if they've been injured or whatever, in which case they get taken to the local museum, which becomes a sort of puffin hotel for a few days each year. You can buy all sorts of puffin souvenirs on the islands. I took some great photographs of the birds, one of which is now the screensaver on my computer. I've got a puffin mouse mat too, that's really cute. A much better souvenir than a puffin t-shirt or baseball cap. That's the sort of thing most people buy. Anyway, before I go on to the migration...
Now, listen again.
Do you like seabirds? If so, you'll love puffins. They spend most of their lives at sea. But last August, I was lucky enough to see them up close when I visited the Westman Islands in Iceland where they build their nests. First of all, though, a few facts about puffins. They have a squat black and white body, short wings, and a large colourful beak, which I think makes them look really funny on dry land. But puffins are built more to swim underwater than to fly or walk. When you see them swimming, it's an impressive sight. Their wings help them propel themselves through the water. I didn't expect their feet to be used when they were flying, except perhaps just to moderate their speed like brakes. But actually, they use them to alter their direction in the air. In the water, puffins can dive deep, holding their breath for up to 2 minutes to catch fish. When spring comes, puffins can be seen on high cliffs on the Westman Islands making their nests. It's quite a sight, I'm told. I wasn't aware of this, but puffins nest underground rather than on clifftop ledges as I'd imagined. They dig holes, so their nests are very well protected. Each female puffin lays just one egg in its nest each year, which the pair watches over for 6 weeks, day and night. While they wait, you can hear them underground making noises that might be like talking, loud growling calls, almost like laughter, which some describe as sounding like a cow, and I tend to agree. Young puffins, though, once hatched, sound more like a duck or a goose, peeping for food from their parents. I was told that, as winter beckons, their parents leave them behind and fly off to sea. But apparently it's hunger rather than loneliness that makes young puffins fly from their nests. That's something I didn't expect. And this is what I saw when I was there. In the daytime, I watched young puffins diving off the cliffs to gain enough speed for flight as they headed out to sea. At nighttime, though, which is when most of them fly off, it was a different story. The thing is, puffins instinctively use the stars for navigation, but the lights of a town can fool them and make them head in the wrong direction, so the young puffins end up landing all over the place. Some puffins land on the beaches, where they are easily rescued. Others aren't so lucky. If it's on the roads, cars aren't so much of a problem, as people know to drive extra slowly at this time of year. But gardens present more of a threat. They're dark and there are lurking cats. So I helped the local teenagers, who are allowed to stay out late, and we roamed around the town with cardboard shoeboxes, rescuing young puffins as we went. I even saw one boy putting a young puffin in an upturned umbrella, which made me laugh. They didn't seem to mind being handled, and it's not unusual for a single teenager to catch 10 birds in one evening. After a night spent as guests of their rescuers, with the box as a temporary bed, we carried the young birds down to the beach and threw them up high. It was a really rewarding experience to see them glide towards the sea and freedom. Sometimes the puffins aren't ready for release, if they've been injured or whatever, in which case they get taken to the local museum, which becomes a sort of puffin hotel for a few days each year. You can buy all sorts of puffin souvenirs on the islands. I took some great photographs of the birds, one of which is now the screensaver on my computer. I've got a puffin mouse mat too, that's really cute. A much better souvenir than a puffin t-shirt or baseball cap. That's the sort of thing most people buy. Anyway, before I go on to the migration...
That is the end of part 4. You now have 6 minutes to check and copy your answers onto the answer sheet. That is the end of the test. Please stop now.